Thanks for listening to the Velocity Church podcast. We hope that this message encourages you, inspires you, and challenges you to take your next step with Jesus. Now, here's the message.
I grew up in a church where the pastor was very prophetic. And, you know, as teenagers, we were always getting up to nonsense. And sometimes when the pastor was preaching, he would come off the stage and he would like walk, you know, among the congregation, and God would give him words, and we were always terrified. We were like, please, God, I'm so sorry. Don't let him call me out in front of my mother. Please, she's going to beat me. And God was always very gracious. It never happened. So you are safe, okay? But how wonderful to be talking about this letter that Paul wrote to the church of Galatia, which is modern-day Turkey. And Paul, you know, if you've studied his letters, he's always so encouraging as he writes to all the different churches, to Ephesus, to Philippi, to the Corinthians, but not to the Galatians. Like, these guys have really upset him. And to the Ephesians, he writes, ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. To the Philippians, he says, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Wherever I pray, I make requests for all of you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the first time you heard it until now. And then obviously he would go on with correction. Even the Corinthians, who were sleeping around, he was like, you guys are doing such a great job. But the Galatians, are you ready for this? He says, I am shocked. There's no like, you guys are doing a great job, but I'm shocked. Just straight into it. I am shocked. No warm up. That you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who are deliberately twisting the truth concerning Christ. We are living in a time where fake is the new real. Have you realized that? It started with handbags, and then it just became all of society. My mom, you know, worked really hard and sometimes worked two jobs and stuff so she could show us the world. Such an incredible lady. And wherever we traveled, our currency in South Africa was always much lower, right? So we couldn't buy a lot of stuff, except for this one place called Bali. Has anyone ever heard of Bali? It's there near Singapore. Our currency in South Africa, you could actually buy stuff. And I remember going to this one store. It would be like the equivalent of like a Macy's or a you know, one of those big stores. And there they had all the clothes that I'd always wanted to buy but could never afford. Versace and all of this. And it was cheaper than anything I'd ever seen. It had the label. It had the little sticker. It had everything. That was when CKB, who remembers that fragrance, came out. I couldn't afford CKB, but in Bali I could. And you sprayed it. It had the right bottle. It had the right box. I was so excited. Man, I was going to feel what it felt like to have Versace on my skin for the first time ever. Well, I still haven't got that feeling. So we bought all this stuff. We were so excited. It's like we found the gold mine of fake goods. And the CKB that I bought, that smelled so good. The next day, it became toilet spray. And this is the thing. Something can look real, but if it's not real, it doesn't have the properties of something that is real. How valuable is fake gold? Now, it can look cool. You can impress your friends. You can do all of these things, but when it comes to actually getting value for it, it has no value because it's not real. What about a fake gospel? Are we ever concerned for the fact that, just let's talk about Christianity. Let's not talk about all the other crazy stuff. Just within Christianity, that there are so many variations of Christianity. I mean, let's just go from church to church to church to church to church. And I'm not standing here in pride saying, man, we're the only ones who have it all figured out. We have things that we need to tighten up and shift, and God needs to reveal and as well. But is it not concerning for anybody? Do you ever stop and say, I hope I'm right? Versus everybody who comments on social media thinks that they are the world leading expert on whatever they're talking about. Have you read those comments? Where you're like, you must be a scientist in this field. Oh, you've never even read anything about this. Be quiet. We are so confident it's stuff we don't know. But when it comes to the gospel, there's a huge risk at play. Not only are our lives at risk, but those that we influence. And this is why Paul is so upset, why he didn't even start with the flowery introductions of, I'm praying for you. It's like, I am shocked by you. Because it's the foundation of what we believe. We can disagree on a lot of things. We can disagree on tongues and we're both going to make it to heaven. We disagree on the foundation of the gospel of Jesus and what he's done. Somebody, one of us is wrong, and that's not good. We live in a world where we can pretend to be whatever we want to be. I don't even read people's resumes anymore since the discovery of ChatGPT. ChatGPT can make you look like a NASA scientist, but who cares? When you don't know how to fix the rocket, it doesn't matter what your resume says. You can talk the talk, but if you can't walk the walk, what does it matter? And I think we have created, in some instances, a fake gospel. And this message of Paul, what he's talking to the Galatians, still applies today. It's just in a different way. What Paul was so upset about here was he brought this revelation of justification by faith in Jesus. That was the gospel he preached. And then these other false teachers came and said, no, you have to follow Judaism. You got to do all these things. You got to follow all these rules. And then you can become a Christian, which completely undermines the beauty of Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. So he's mad because this is a complete corruption of what Jesus did on the cross. Some other things we can tweak, right? Worship styles we can tweak. A lot of things that we can disagree on and whatever, and we can still walk on the same road. But if Jesus is not the center of this gospel, then we are not talking about the same thing. But we have created all these different variations, and we see it all over. As we're talking to people, you hear it like this. Well, I don't believe that Jesus would do that. Okay. Are you willing to hang your life on that and the lives of others that you are now perpetuating a gospel that may not exist? You hear what I'm saying? How many of you have seen the movie Talladega Nights? Okay, half of you. It's one of the top three movies. It's The Passion of the Christ, obviously. Then it's Nacho Libre, and then Talladega Nights. If you watch those three, you don't have to watch another movie in your life. But there's a scene in Talladega Nights where they're sitting saying grace. And he starts off saying, dear baby Jesus, with your fleece diapers, and his wife says, he grew up. Stop calling him baby Jesus. He said, I like to pray to baby Jesus. Christmas Jesus is my favorite. And when I say grace, I'm praying to baby Jesus. When you say grace, you pray to teenage Jesus, bearded Jesus, whoever you want. Then his friend says, well, I like to picture Jesus at a Leonard Skinner concert singing lead vocals with eagle's wings and an angel, dancers or backup singers, whatever it is. And I'm in the front row and I'm hammered drunk. And he's like, yeah. And then his kids are like, I like to picture Jesus as a samurai ninja. And they're like, yeah. It doesn't matter how you picture Jesus. Jesus is going to be Jesus. And how you interpret Jesus has nothing to do with it. The problem is when we are living out a gospel that doesn't exist, therefore it's not accompanied by everything that the gospel brings. Because it's fake, just like my Versace jeans. You hear what I'm saying? The Bible says to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. This is a big deal. But we have, we've got all these teachings. And podcasts are a blessing. But podcasts are not a replacement for you getting in the Word of God to find out what it actually says. My sweet friend Meg's over there. And if you can't tell, she's standing right now. But her and I recorded a little video together, and I said, and as the Bible says, he who finds a loyal friend is like finding a golden peacock in a green field. Now, some of you are like, wow, that's a beautiful verse. Yes, except for the fact that it doesn't exist. But if you're not reading the Bible, you wouldn't know that. Now, that's a little bit more obvious. But what about all the teachings that are going on that sound good to the ear? And Paul writes to Timothy to say it's a form of godliness, but denying its power. So we have all these different gospels that puts me at the center instead of Jesus being at the center, where I can picture Jesus however I like. This is... When those shirts came out that said, Jesus is my homeboy, I struggled with that. I'm not sure Jesus is my homeboy. Jesus is my Savior, and He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, but He's my Savior. A homeboy just goes with me where I want to go. My Savior, I go with Him where He wants to go. So there's a lot of these things where we like, oh, it sounds cool, and it's very inclusive to everybody. Oh, that's great, but just make sure that it's the real Jesus or you're not doing anybody any favors. If I say to you, to make you feel good, you can eat cheeseburgers every day. In fact, eat them 3 times a day because I don't want to hurt your feelings. And then you die at 45 from collapsed arteries. Was I really a friend? So we can't recreate the gospel to make it sound better the way that we think. The gospel is the gospel and Jesus is Jesus. And our Father God is who He said He is, not who we want to recreate Him to be. How do I know when I'm recreating the gospel? It's when Jesus is following me in my life and He's starting to look more like me. He likes all the things that I like. He's got a problem with the same people that I don't like. Lord, I know that you don't like my neighbors. I know it. How do I know when I'm in the correct gospel and my foundation is the correct good news? Because I am being transformed into the likeness of Jesus. Think about this. Who here has a sort of guess number of how many people in America are meeting in churches today? I don't know what the answer is. So somebody give me a rough estimation so I don't exaggerate. 100,000. Okay, anyone else? I think 50 million. I think that's a good estimate of Christian believers meeting. There's 300 and something million people in America. I think 50 million is a good number. How many of those 50 million, their lives are actually going to be any different for having come to church today? Okay, now let's stop judging them. And now let's look at you. Are you going to be any different for having come to church today? What about last week? The beautiful Easter service. Are you any different from that message? Did anything change when you walked out and you said, where are we going to go eat? And someone said, how was the service? And you were like, it was fantastic. Okay, and what did God say to you? Why do we come to church? Think about it like this. If this is the most word, the most scripture, the most that I'm thinking about God in my entire week, here's a practical example to show you how effective that is. For those of you who work out, stop working out and only work out for 30 minutes on a Sunday. How are you going to look? Nobody's telling you, where do you work out? Nobody's saying, I can see that you have a gym membership. And in the same way, if this is the only word that you are getting, nobody's saying, please tell me about what I see in your life. Nobody's saying, you look different than other people. Nobody's saying, you have to tell me what I'm experiencing when I'm around you. It's the same thing. Church is not supposed to be the main word that I get. This is where we get alignment, where we get vision, where we get some correction. But it should be based on what we already know. If you're going like, and obviously if you just started a church, I'm not talking about you. But if you're going like, there's a book called Galatians. Like, that's a problem. Because how do you know you are not being led astray? That's exactly what was happening to the Galatians. These other teachers came in and they just walked down the path of another gospel. You don't think Satan wants to do that to you? And he will do it with the best looking people. The most fun, the most attractive to the flesh, whatever it is. You're like, oh, I like that. They'll say, yes, this kind of Jesus, he accepts this. Well, I don't think that God is going to allow anybody to go to hell. Okay, great. But is that real? Just because you think it, well, I don't think that my Jesus has a problem with, you know, me doing this or me doing that. Great. But what are you basing it on? Or are you basing your whole appearance on fake clothing? And one day it's going to be exposed and it's not going to be there to help you. You with me? We can fool everybody. I don't know if here anybody has ever had fake anything. Of course not you guys, because you're so holy that you would never buy fake. In South Africa, it's quite funny because the life expectancy in South Africa is 45. Right? But yet, we love brands, which is crazy. You would think, if you know you're only dying at 45, you would care about more meaningful things. But we're like, hey, if I'm going, I want to go looking good. And then there was a stage when I was in high school of fake Rolexes. And everybody got a fake Rolex. Oh, and you felt so cool. And then 1 week later, it stopped working. And it's the same thing for a fake gospel. It comes with no power for your life to change. Amen. You can con everybody else. You can con yourself to think that you are serving Jesus or whatever it might be. But if Jesus is not at the center and you are at the center, it is a fake gospel. The real gospel can be uncomfortable at times. Of course, we experience immense blessing in following Jesus. I don't for a moment believe that serving God is like this miserable thing where you just can't wait for heaven because you want to die. How are you doing? Oh, I'm just serving Jesus. Fullness of joy. But sometimes it doesn't line up with the American dream. There's a gospel out there it's no different than the American dream. We are looking to a dream that far exceeds the American dream. We are looking towards our eternity with God. We love talking about heaven. We know very little, right? We know that there's going to be houses. We know that lions are going to lay down with lambs. My son asked me if we can eat the lamb. I said, I don't know. But we can't just make stuff up. We got to hold to what is true, and the rest we have to say, I think or I imagine, but here's what I do know about Jesus. Amen. And the more we get into these fake circles, the more we create fake nonsense. But here's the thing. The real gospel actually transforms, where the fake gospel is just a badge that I wear. If my Christianity is not transforming my heart, then I don't have real Christianity. If I'm a jerk before Jesus and I'm a jerk after Jesus, something is wrong. It says we'll be hated and persecuted, but for the word's sake, not for the jerk's sake. We all have our things we're working through, but here's an example. The Bible says don't even associate with people with short tempers, hotheads. So if you are a hothead, this should be a warning to say, this is not okay. Lord, please help me and work through this. My father had such terrible anger. He was a rage monster. So much so that I canceled my wedding. Do you know that? Because I was so scared that I would be that person and I would do to my wife what my father did to my mother. And I was like, no human being deserves that. Canceled my wedding. And then you know what? The gospel set me free. Amen. You see, there has to be a reality. This anger was real. The gospel was more real. There has to be a change. My thing has been with the police. And my kids have seen me not respond well to the police because they profile me. I'm not even joking. But I took this to the Lord a while ago. I told you the story when I invited all the police to the ranch and I said, this gospel has to be real in my life. I will not accept when I'm reading in scripture and I know that what I'm reading is completely different to my life. Then my life has to change, not scripture changes to match my life. And anyway, I was coming home from a funeral the other night. It's late at night. My phone is dead. I get lost. I land up in Sealy. I'm not speeding because I know the Sealians are looking for me. There's a cop parked on the side of the road. It's dark, right? And as I drive past, this cop profiles me because my car looks different to other cars. And sure enough, he follows me for a while, pulls me over, and then looks to find something to get me for. And you know what I said to that cop, knowing all this thing was going on? I said nothing. And I was like, the gospel is at work in my life. Because that's not how I've rolled in the past. When a cop's like, do you know why I pulled you over? And I'm like, because I allowed you to. I didn't say any of those things. But you know what I thought? As I was talking to the police officer, Mr. Officer, if this guy gets on my Instagram or my Facebook page or he ends up at church, I don't have anything to apologize for. When he says, hey, excuse me, and he interrupts my sermon to say, hey, I met you in real life and you're a jerk. You hear what I'm saying? I have been a jerk. I've been all those things, but we're in a process. But as long as there's actually a process, I've always said, as long as I can look in my wife's eyes, and right now it's one eye, but as long as I can, as long as I can look at her and I know that what I'm speaking is authentic and she believes it because she lives with me, that is my test. But even more so, I need to look into the mirror of the word and say, am I a hypocrite? And if I'm a hypocrite, Lord, the gospel needs to work in my life. And Jesus, you need to be the center once again. Amen. Listen how upset Paul is about a different gospel. Okay? Listen to this. He says, Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, or even an angel from heaven who preaches a different kind of good news other than the one that preached to you. I say again what we have said before. If anyone preaches any other good news than the one that you have welcomed, let that person be accursed. We've got all this trendy gospel going out that's just so wonderful. You know why? Because I don't have to change anything. There's something wrong. Because according to this word, there's a lot that has to change, and I can't even do it on my own. That's why I need a Savior to do it. So suddenly there's a gospel where I don't need a Savior. He just welcomes me into heaven, and I just keep living exactly the way. That is not what Scripture says. There is a transformation from lost to found, from void of the Spirit to full of the Holy Spirit. How do those two things look the same? Anyone? It's a cricket, if you didn't know. Matthew 7:21-23. Listen to this. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Well, my Jesus would never say that. Spoiler alert, it was Jesus who said that. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, we cast out demons in your name, and performed many miracles in your name. But I'll reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. Not homeboy Jesus. Let me tell you what. The love of Jesus is more than you can comprehend. There is no way for me to describe how incredible the love of God is. And Paul tries. He's like, it's so high, it's so wide, it's unbelievable. But it's on his terms. I don't tell Jesus what to do. He's welcomed me into his salvation. I didn't welcome him into my salvation. He's the one who traded places with us. So he's more gracious than I can describe. He is more loving. But I can't create him in my own image where I don't have anything to change. So I had scheduled a marriage conference for the end of the year, right? This was early on. And then my wife had the accident, and in the hospital room, and we've got a good marriage, and in the hospital room, so much stuff was exposed to me about my heart and my selfishness and all this, and I canceled the marriage. I'm like, I can't teach anybody about marriage. Like, I'm back at ground zero, learning how to be the husband that God has called me to be. You hear what I'm saying? I was like, gosh, I was so prideful. How did I think that I could tell anybody about marriage when I'm learning the basics again with my beautiful wife? This is what the Word of God should do. It's not condemnation. Correction and conviction brings hope and joy. And you're like, thank you. Thank you for showing me this. The example that Pastor Arthur told us with Peter. Peter's like, no, you're not washing my feet. He's like, if I don't wash your feet, you're not getting in. He's like, wash all of me. That's what correction does. Doesn't make us want to slink away. It brings us closer in. But if you're not in the Word, if you're not finding out what the real gospel is, we are going to be led away by wise-sounding words, by all of these things that seem appealing. But when you bite that apple, it's not real. It's wax. Oh, but it looks real. You know, like all those TV ads, all those food ads. Have you ever watched the making of those food ads? Like the cheeseburger and the ice cream. It's not even food. They're like using concrete and whatever. And you're like, oh, that looks so good. I need to get that. It's lies. And what's even more scary is that of the gospel. So the test is, am I being transformed by what I believe? And at the end of the day, am I looking more like Christ? Doesn't mean we don't have bad days. Doesn't mean we don't mess it up. But when I do, I'm wanting to get back up to look more like Christ, not making excuses for my behavior. Here's an easy one, unforgiveness. How many sermons have you heard on unforgiveness? And yet we feel it's okay in our life to have unforgiveness. It's not. Nowhere in this are we permitted to have unforgiveness. So don't sit there and think like, but I'm okay to. No, your Jesus, he understands that I hate my neighbor. He does not. And I have one of those neighbors. In real life. And he does not tolerate. He does not give way to unforgiveness. Because to whom much has been given, much is required. So who is the Jesus that you are following? What is the gospel that you are planting your life on? It's a good thought, right? And this is something that we should continually analyze. I'm not talking about insecurity where I'm so scared to stand before God because I don't know if he's going to welcome me. That means you're not on the right gospel. Because the right gospel, the righteous are as bold as lions. I know who I am in Christ Jesus, but only when I'm following the real Christ Jesus, I can stand up and I can speak with confidence. I said to the kids driving in the car, and I've shared this with you. We're driving down. We don't know anything other about my wife other than she's been life-flighted to hospital and she's in critical condition. I don't know anything else. And I said to the kids, I can guarantee you that we are going to see the goodness of God in this situation. I couldn't guarantee what that was, but I could guarantee you that we would see the goodness of God, because that, my brothers and sisters, is in the Bible. It's in his nature to be good. So you can be confident. We are not scared. You ever heard those stories of somebody who pulled a gun on this grandmother? And the grandmother stood up confidently and said, put your gun away in Jesus' name. And they were like, okay. You know? She was confident in Jesus. What gospel are you standing on? It's great that you're in church. But if church is not impacting you, then it's fake news. It's fake genes. It just looks nice, but it has no value in your life. It has no impact, nor will it impact the lives of anybody else. Peter and John, I love this. They're on their way to worship at the temple, and there's a lame man. You know the story? And he's begging for money, and they say, I'm sorry, Judas stole my wallet, but silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and walk. And the man is healed. A fake gospel can't deliver that. So all we can do with a fake gospel is say, I'm so sorry, good luck. But a real gospel has real hope. And so we lay our hands on the sick and we ask God to do something that only a real gospel can do. Isn't that beautiful? And suddenly, as we are transformed, others are transformed because it's real. It's not just wise words that sound nice, like when you crack open a cookie at a Chinese restaurant. Those words sound really cool, but mean nothing. And the cookie's not even that good. Would you bow your heads or close your eyes for me? Just consider this. You're standing before God, and he says to you, what did you do with the good news? What did you do with Jesus? What did you do with my son that was given as a sacrifice? What did you do with him? Well, Lord, I served in the children's church, and there's many things you can do around the gospel. But what did you do with Jesus? Did you follow him? Did you truly give your life to him and say, you're my Savior? This is a true story about and you can picture this as I'm telling you the story. There was an island that was filled with slaves. And the owner wanted nothing to do with God. He said, no Christian or missionary will ever come to this island. These missionaries heard about this and their hearts were broken that these slaves would never hear the gospel. And so they sold themselves into slavery to become slaves on this island so that those people could have the opportunity to hear the good news. That may not fit with our American dream of what it means to serve Jesus. But are we asking God, Lord, what would you have for my life? Or are we telling him, this is what I want for my life? That can be worlds apart. And as the ship pulled out, and there their family had tears running down their face, they shouted, may the lamb that was slain receive his reward. See, Jesus, we're living for Jesus. And that's where we see this Bible come to life, and we see the promises, and we see the power. We see the fruits of the Spirit start showing up in our life. We're like, whoa, where did that fruit come from? Because we're standing on the right gospel. Lord, change me. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to have areas of my life that I've just accepted that you don't have access to. You have access to everything. I don't want to wear fake gospel jeans anymore. Pray with me and I'll call Pastor Arthur up and say, dear Lord Jesus, I have heard your word today. And I ask you to revive my heart for what is true. Give me a passion for your word. Help me to hate what is wrong and love what is good. I don't want to have fakeness in my life. I want to have the reality of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening today. To stay connected, visit us online at velocityburnham.org and follow us on Instagram. And if you're ever in the Burnham area, we'd love to have you visit us on a weekend. Thanks again, and we hope to see you soon.